Johnny Jett, he has traveled to 20-plus countries a year, sharing firsthand knowledge of reward travel, travel credit card deals, travel tips, and more. Great website, johnnyjett.com, great free newsletter, and good morning to you, John.
Good morning.
I know a lot of people, even though the most dangerous part of flying is driving to the airport, folks are nervous, understandably so, with all that's happened recently. And you're the guy to allay those fears because, ironically, you had a fear of flying, didn't you?
Definitely. I was not only afraid to fly, I was afraid to leave the house at one point right after high school. So I got over my fear, obviously, and the way I did it is because I looked at the statistics. It's much safer to fly than it is to drive. I mean, you think about it, there's 45,000 flights going, taking off and landing every day in the U.S. That's just the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's over 100,000 in the world. And, you know, you hear about, and when there is an incident like the one in Toronto, the safety, everyone survived. It's remarkable, and yep. It's just because they've done a really good job. Unfortunately, there are mistakes like the one in D.C., and it puts everyone on edge.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and as you point out, because of those statistics, that's why it's such big news when there is a collision or an airplane accident. You have something on your list of 12 things in travel you need to know today, and it's a remarkable story about these breakaway bolts. Tell us about that and how it saved maybe 80 lives.
Yeah, you know what? I actually just learned about it yesterday when I read that article. It was CNN actually interviewed an expert, and I didn't realize, I think it was about 20 years ago, where they put these bolts in so that, you know, if there was a huge impact, it would release the wings. And so that, because the wings have the fuel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those wings were separated, and the fuselage just slid down the runway. And I mean, it's, you know, you watch that video, it's remarkable that, you know, when you first see it, you see this fireball, you think everyone's done, but it's because of those breakaway bolts.
Yeah, and the great work by, and they are really the first responders, the flight attendants, aren't they?
Definitely. I mean, everyone thinks flight attendants are there to serve you, but they're there to protect you, and you know, that's my old girlfriend was a flight attendant for United, based out of Chicago. That's why I used to spend so much time in Chicago, and I learned all about their safety. I mean, they go through rigorous, and it's just for incidents like this, and it's long. I think it's between 6 and 8 weeks long courses, and it's intense. You stay there. You're away from home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely true. Lately, a lot of folks have been, I think, talking about this complaint. And this is what you hear. Yeah, I tried to book a flight to, you know, name the cities. And I thought, well, nobody's going there right now. And then I found out the planes are almost completely full. The ticket prices are way up there. What's happened? Have all the airlines cut back on flights?
Yeah, I mean, thanks to computer algorithms, they know how much to expect. So especially if you're flying during peak days and times, you're definitely going to have a full flight. The only way you're not going to is if you fly off peak and the days that not many people are traveling. But even then, the airlines cut back some of their flights. So you're going to find full flights. You have to be prepared for that. And then when they don't sell all the flights, they have their employees who can fly for free on standby. So even though the flight might look like it's open, you know, in the last 30 minutes when they're boarding, they will start releasing those seats to employees or friends and family.
Right. Yeah. JohnnyJett.com is the website. And since John started his newsletter, he has traveled more than 100,000 airline miles a year. And before we go on to other topics, John, I think you need to talk a little bit more about how you overcame not only your fear of flying, but your fear of leaving the house. You mentioned, you know, digesting all the statistics, but you gotta do more than that to get over the kind of fear you had.
Definitely, you do. And you know what? I would go to the airport, go to the gate. Back then, you could go to the gate without having a ticket. And I would also, you know, just pretend I was getting on a flight. Hmm. Or when I was dropping, especially when I was dropping off friends or family. And then I would also, you know, ask flight attendants, pilots, business travelers. And then when I'd get on a plane, I was asking flight attendants, you know, how often do you do this? And, you know, sometimes they have five flights a day. And you realize that, you know, these mm-hmm. people are doing it all the time. I'm doing it once a year back then, yeah. if that. And you just get used to it. And also would take my mind off of it was a big thing. So, like, back then, you couldn't get your sports news unless you read the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't open the sports section until I got on the plane. And then I would read about it. Uh-huh. But once we took off, I was fine because I realized it was more like the of just getting ready to take off and also being claustrophobic.
Yeah, it's not news. The headline of the day isn't everything was fine at O'Hare today. I mean, you only hear about troubles, and they are few and far between. Definitely. But it's so ironic, your story, and now you're one of Forbes' top 10 travel influencers. All right, let's talk about the story that's in the Wall Street Journal today about overhead bin offenses. Is this the result of the planes all being packed?
Definitely. Also, because they started charging for checked bags. So, you know, as a business traveler, I never want to check a bag. You know, you don't want to wait around. You have to show up to the airport early. Then you have to wait for the bag to come out, which feels like an eternity. So a lot of people don't want to check a bag, but even the ones that do, they don't want to pay for it. So they try and squeeze it all on. So that is one of the big problems.
Aren't the bins all larger now on many planes?
They are. Yeah, you know, not all planes, but they are trying to open up. Boeing has space bins. Airbus has XL bins, which have 20% more. Supposedly can fit 19 more bags. But it's really how you place them. So people don't really pay attention. So you're supposed to put them in side by side with your wheels away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
instead of
on the edge of the suitcase.
He's on the edge, correct. And then you know, there's a lot of different rules. I mean, I've seen so much. First of all, you want to get on the plane early. That's why, you know, people are trying to get elite status so they can board early. Also, the you know, you're only supposed to bring one large bag and a small personal one. The large one goes up in the bin. And the personal one goes underneath you or underneath the seat in front of you. But the problem is, if you're in the bulkhead or the exit row, those seats you don't allow you to put a bag in front of you. So you have to put it up top.
Yeah.
Although some exit rows allow you to. It depends on the airline. Especially internationally, they don't. I mean, there's a whole set of guides. And you're not supposed to touch other people's bags. If it's already there, and I see people moving stuff around. A lot of stuff are fragile. People start screaming, like, what are you doing touching my stuff? You don't touch other people's stuff. You ask a flight attendant if they can find more room. Also, people think the bin above you is their space. It's not. There's no assigned space. And I actually recommend putting your bag across the aisle from you so you can see people going into it, because theft on planes does happen.
Mm-hmm. And many, many times now, there's a situation where they tell you your bag won't fit. We'll check it for free. What do they call that? A gate check or something?
There's a sizer. There's a gate sizer.
Yeah.
So also the gate check to check your bag. Yes, but I mean, a lot of these low cost carriers, especially like Spirit or Frontier, and in Europe, Ryanair and EasyJet, they have these sizers where your bag has to fit in there, and it's so tight. But even if your bag does fit and you have to push it down, they're going to say, sorry, you have to pay for it. It's going to be $100.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scam. The gate agents are making money, and then people get all fired up, and I can't blame them. But you have to read the fine print of what kind of ticket you're buying.
Right. Yeah, and that happens all the time. But you know what doesn't happen anymore, it seems? And tell me why. It used to be very often there'd be an announcement at the gate. If anybody wants to get bumped, we can offer a travel voucher or whatever. How come you don't hear that anymore? Or do you?
You hear it once in a while, but they now put it in the app, and so or when you check in online, they'll ask you if you want to be on the list. So then you might just hear people's names being paged. But you know, if you want to be bumped, which is a great way to make some extra cash or at least travel vouchers, ask the agents when you check in, and then at the gate, be polite. Say, listen, do you need any volunteers?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually will treat you better because they're always looking for someone who to do it.
Is it too late to get a good deal out of Chicago for spring vacation?
No, it's never too late. It just has to be flexible. So you have to be flexible on the date. You have to be flexible on where you want to go. You know, if you want to go to Florida or the Caribbean on peak days, yeah, it's going to be expensive. But if you want to go, I'm trying to think of some places like
anywhere warm would be better.
Yeah, you can find deals, but again, if you book on these low fare carriers because it doesn't look like it's really cheap, just know that you can't have a lot of bags. So read their fine print, because if you do a search right now, Spirit and Frontier are going to show up as the cheapest, but it might not be the cheapest in the long run.
Right.
So do your math.
People need to know how to sign up for your free newsletter, John. What do they do?
Just go to johnnyjet.com. Up at the upper right-hand box, there's a sign-up box, or you can Google Johnny Jet Newsletter, because I have a daily free trip tip, too, which doesn't show up when you do it on the website, which is ridiculous. Or just email me, johnny@johnnyjet.com, and I'll send you the link. But, you can still find deals. It's still safe to fly. Don't worry.
Don't worry. Exactly. Where are you traveling this week? Are you staying home there in Southern California?
You know, it's going to be 80 degrees this weekend here in L.A.
Stop staying here.
We're going away next week, but this week we're staying home.
Don't rub it in. Johnny Jet, johnny.com. Thanks, John. Happy travels. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.